We're going through the book of James. It's a kind of a bottom line communicator, James is, as we've talked about before. And he's just giving us, drilling down to the points that we need to know that puts our faith in action. And we're going to be talking about what is real faith today. If you open up your sermon notes and look inside, I want to talk about what is real faith versus not so real faith. I don't know whether you remember or not, but at one time, Coke had an advertisement, and they called Coke the real thing. You remember that? And now we've got things like the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and the Real Housewives of Atlanta. And I've watched a few minutes of those shows, and I don't want to know anymore about the Real Housewives, okay? But this has really kind of come around because sometimes people will say he is the real deal, right? And we know what that means. But my favorite thing about being real is when my wife makes quiche and I can look at her and say, real men don't eat quiche. So what is real faith? Before we get into it, I want to talk about the fact that James is talking here about faith and works. People say, well, that can't be, because look at what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For it is by God's grace that you have been saved through faith. It is not the result of your own effort, but it's God's gift, so that no one can boast about it. God has made us what we are, and in our union with Christ Jesus, He has created us for a life of good deeds, which is already prepared for us to do. You see, Paul was fighting something different than what James was fighting. Paul was fighting legalism. They were trying to say, well, you're not really saved. And so Paul was coming in here and saying, you are saved through your faith. He wanted people to know that they were saved. Now, James was fighting something else. There were people saying, I have faith, but they were not demonstrating their faith. He was fighting laxity, and he was wanting people to show that they were saved. These two verses can go hand in hand, and they don't really dispute one another as much as people would like for them to say that they do. Matter of fact, this past Wednesday night, I was in Winter Haven. And there was a visitor there in Winter Haven, and when I got through preaching, he started challenging me by saying I was preaching a works-based salvation. And I said, I never said that. Why are you putting words in my mouth? And he began to talk about different things. And finally, I just looked at the preacher and I said, I'm not going to be here long enough to handle all this, so I'm going to turn it over to you. It was a really good way to leave that town. So what is real faith? Real faith is not just something you say. Real faith is not just something you say. You can't just go around and say 62 to 68% of this country says that they're Christian by faith. And I believe that there are a lot of Christians in this world today, but I want you to hear this. While there's 62 to 68% of people that say they have faith in Christ, they don't attend worship services anywhere. They don't give of their time. They don't give of their talents. I run into people all the time, and they find out that I am a preacher, and as we talk, they'll say, well, you know, I'll say, well, where do you attend church? And they'll say, oh, well, right now I'm not attending anywhere. I'm taking a little break from it. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking to myself, how do you take a break from being a Christian? Look at what it says here. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? I know most of you are probably not old enough to remember this, but there was a guy who had a magazine called Penthouse. It was a pornography magazine. And the Carters got Larry Flint into their home and taught him. And Larry Flint, when it was according to the Carters, he was a born-again Christian. He decided to accept Christ as his Savior. But the crazy thing about that is Larry Flynt never stopped producing his magazine. You can say that you're a Christian, but do your works make your deeds make you a Christian? Luke 6:46, it says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say?" Secondly, being a real Christian or having real faith is not just something you feel. Since suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food, if one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? There's a great theologian, his name is Charles Schulz, and he had a cartoon called Peanuts. And I love those Peanuts cartoons because they were the Bible in a lot of it. And one of the cartoons that I recall was Linus and Charlie Brown were looking out the window and they saw Snoopy outside and it was snowing and he had an empty bowl in front of him and he's out there shivering and they looked at each other and they said, "You know what, we need to do something about that. Look at Snoopy, he is out there by himself. And we need to go do something." So they went outside and they looked at Snoopy and they said, "Be of good cheer," and walked back inside. I am convinced that Charles Schulz was looking at this verse when he came up with that. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17 says, "If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person?" If you're not helping other Christians when they need help, how can the love of God be in you? I heard a story about a little boy who was sitting in the town to buy a dozen eggs for his mother. They cost $1.50. And he hung on to that money so tight all the way to the store because he had just enough for a dozen eggs. And as he's paying for the eggs, he's walking out the door and he trips and he falls. And a crowd gathers around the little boy as he's crying about the eggs that are all smashed that he can't take home. And people begin to pat him on the head and tell him how sorry he is, until one man says, "Well, I'm sorry, 25 cents worth. How sorry are you?" You see, we can feel pity for other people, but it's when we take action that our faith becomes real. Number three, it's not just something you think. But someone will say, "But I have faith, or you have faith, and I have deeds. Show me your faith without your deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds." I believe if James was an American, he would be from Missouri to show his state, don't you? He was wanting to see people's faith in by their actions. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, "When someone becomes a Christian, he has become a brand new person inside. He is not the same anymore. A new life has begun." I've got a question for you right now I want you to think about. If you were arrested today for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence for conviction? I want you to think about that for just a minute. And I'm not talking about would there be enough evidence because you attend on Sunday morning? Would there be enough evidence because you say you are a Christian? Would there be enough evidence by the deeds that you perform for Christ? Number four, real faith is not just something you believe. You believe that there is a God, good, even the demons believe and shudder. That word there, shudder, is to be scared to death. You see, the demons, the devil, knows more scripture than all of us in the room. The devil knows more about God than all of us in the room. And he's scared to death of God. When I was reading this, I thought about this basketball player in college. He was a friend of my younger brother's, and my younger brother and his friends would come over to Nancy and I's apartment, and they would watch TV with us because we had HBO at the time. And one of the scary movies that came on that they wanted to watch came on a particular night on a Friday night. And they came over, and I watched this guy who was, I'm 6'2", he was probably 6'5", something like that. And I watched him curl up into a ball and look through his knees because he was scared of what he was seeing. You see, what it says there, if you believe, it says, you believe that there's one God, good, evil. So many times we think that we believe things. I was out in California several years ago, and one of the things I wanted to see is I wanted to see the Golden Gate Bridge. And I went to the Golden Gate Bridge, and I looked at it, it is magnificent. And I was thinking, I'm going to pay to go across this bridge so that I could just say I've been on the Golden Gate Bridge. And I was getting ready to go, and I found a little spot where I could look and I could read information about the Golden Gate Bridge before I went over, and I'm reading the information, and do you know that that bridge is built in such a way that it can flex 27 feet from its original position, and it can move from side to side 10 feet. Now, I had faith that I could have gotten across that bridge, but after I read that, I said I believed that bridge could hold me, but I did not have faith to get on that bridge. You see, for a lot of us, we believe God, what he says, but we don't have enough faith to follow him. Psalms 14:1 says, a fool says in his heart, there is no God. There are a lot of people out there that are saying there is no God, but it is a foolish thing to say. But if you really want to have faith, you've got to walk the walk. You see, there was a man named Hitler. I never met Hitler. I don't know anybody that knows Hitler, but I believe Hitler is in fact a real person. But the difference between believing that there's a Hitler and following a Hitler is the same difference between believing that there is a God and following God. If you truly believe someone or believe in God, you're going to follow him. Number five, real faith is something you do. As a body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. And then he gives us two examples. Turn over on the front page there. Let's look at these two examples real quick. Was not our father Abraham, verse 21, was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete of what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see, that person is considered righteous by what they do. Abraham was a Jewish hero. As a matter of fact, if you were growing up, you probably had pajamas with Abraham on it. But then the other person was not the hero. It was a Gentile woman by the name of Rahab. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in different directions? It says, as a body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. I want you to see this very last that I've got on here. The very last thing that I want you to see, you are not saved by your works, for it is by God's grace you have been saved through your faith. There's nothing that I can do to save myself. The only way that I can be saved is through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? But once we're saved, God has prepared for us in advance good works for us to do. It says, for by God's grace you have of good deeds. Now, if you've been in the church as long as I've been in the church, you've heard this lesson before. Have a faith that works. Or do you have a dead faith? Do you have a real faith? The question is for us individually. You see, we sing an invitation song each week. When we sing that invitation song, it is an opportunity for us to look inside, to check our hearts. One of the things that I do that I think is very important to do with communion is I ask God, do I have anything against anyone? And I've been amazed at times when I've been in communion and I've said, God, do I have anything against anyone? And He has brought up a name that I thought about, something that has happened that I need to fix. And when we sing the invitation song, a lot of times as I'm giving the invitation, I'm thinking, is there anything that I need to change today? And unfortunately, every Sunday, in my heart, I see something I need to change. It may be an attitude I have towards somebody, it may be actions, it may be the words that I have said. But every Sunday, I know that there's something that I need to work on. And I hope that when you come in here on Sunday, you think about the things that you need to work on. And that you don't leave out of here the same way you came in. On the very back page, there's an invitation. I was going to put this scripture in the notes, or part of the scripture in the notes, but I thought it would really fit in for an invitation. You see, there's nothing in the Bible that says we have to give an invitation on Sunday morning, in case you're wondering. I know one Sunday when I first started preaching, I didn't give an invitation. I was nervous. I didn't know what I was doing. As a matter of fact, I have gone back to the people that I first started preaching with, and I apologized to them for having to endure my preaching. But there's nothing in the Bible that says we have to give an invitation. But as I'm reading through the Bible the other day, I came across this verse, 2 Corinthians 13, 5 through 7. And it says, test yourself and find out if you're really true to your faith. If you pass the test, you will discover that Christ is living in you. I want you to underline those words if you got your pen still. I want you to discover that Christ is living in you. But if Christ isn't living in you, you failed. I hope you will discover that we have not failed. We pray that you will stop doing evil things. We don't pray like this to make ourselves look good, but to get you to do right, even if we are failures. We don't sing an invitation song to make ourselves look good. We sing an invitation song to encourage one another to do what is right in their life. Everybody in here is in a different place with their faith. Everybody in here is dealing with different things. James calls us to real faith, which means you're going to have some deeds. The lesson is yours as we stand and sing.